For the soldiers of the cross to march around Jericho. I'm calling for a holy war of prayer and preaching of the cross to pull down the strongholds of Satan. For Jesus, our Lord and Savior, is about to come back for his bride, whom he has washed and cleansed and made holy, without spot or wrinkle, by his blood which he shed on the cross for us. You ambassadors of Christ, you soldiers of the cross, you precious diamonds, stand up tall and straight, be counted, be recognized, be identified, and rejoice in the soon coming back of the Lord our God.
Been teaching on the subject, walking according to the will of God. We know that Joshua, just before he was going to attack the city of Jericho, had a talk with God, and the Lord God told him, "Unless you walk according to my will, I am not for either one of you." When we study that situation, it seems almost unbelievable that God would at that stage tell Joshua, "Unless you walk according to my will, then I'm not for you either." But when we study the Word of God, this is exactly how serious God is with those who serve him. He told Moses in Exodus chapter 4, "Unless you circumcise your children, your sons, I will kill you." Very interesting. And that goes for today also. Many who serve God do not take serious that we need to walk according to the will of God. If we don't, then we will be found wanting at the judgment seat of Christ. Yes, God has a very specific way of operating. When the Lord Jesus Christ asked Simon Peter, "Do you love me?" And Simon Peter said, "Yes, I do, Lord." And the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Then feed my sheep." When you study John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ told Simon Peter three times, "Feed my sheep." And not only that, "While you do it, mind your own business." Study John chapter 21 and you will see this is exactly what the Lord God is saying. It is very interesting that God wants us to do one thing, that is to feed the sheep of God and bring people to salvation. In John chapter 21, the Lord Jesus Christ tells Simon Peter, "Feed my sheep." If we want to honor him, he tells us in Proverbs chapter 3, "Bring your substance into the storehouse of God so that I can feed my sheep." When we want to give him something for all the benefits that he has given us, for the air we breathe, for the life that he has given us, for our existence, Psalm 116 tells us, "Just receive the cup of my salvation." That's all God wants from us, to receive the salvation that he has given us. It all revolves in one circle. Feed my sheep. Bring your substance into the house of God so that the sheep can be fed. Take the cup of salvation. It always comes around to us turning to the Lord for salvation, regardless how you put it. That's the heart of God. He wants us to turn to him to receive the awesome salvation that God has given us. The Apostle Paul made an interesting statement. He said, "I had everything, but I counted all as dung that I may know him." And today I'll teach on this subject, how to know the Lord. But before I get into this message, I will ask the Lord to bless us. Heavenly Father, I come before you in Jesus' name. I pray that you will open the hearts of those that are listening so that they can receive your word. I thank you for your word. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen. When we study the different religions of the world, we can very clearly see that all of them teach that man has to do something to please God. For some reason, the human being thinks he has to do something to gain eternal life. He has to perform some act. He somehow has to pay for the wrong that he has been doing. And to the natural mind, that seems totally right, because this is how the world system is geared. Before you receive something, you have to work for it. And we need to understand, when it comes to salvation, we do not have to work for it. God is giving it to us for free, because what God has in store for us, what God wants to give us, there is nothing we puny human beings can do to somehow earn it. Even when we serve the Lord Jesus Christ in our service to him, we get our grace from him and our ability from him. For some reason, we human beings are incapable of even serving the Lord in our own sufficiency. The Apostle Paul tells us in Philippians chapter 3, in verse 8, "Yet doubtless I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Jesus Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win him, and to be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection." The Apostle Paul clearly teaches us here that the credentials that he had as far as serving God was concerned in his natural ability was nothing but dung. He had to rely totally on the power of the Holy Spirit that he may know him and the power of his resurrection. We cannot do anything for God unless God gives us the ability. We have to take the cup of salvation by faith. Nothing on earth that we do can ever gain us eternal life unless we take what God is offering by faith. We could study the Bible through and through. We could understand all things. If we don't receive the cup of salvation by faith, we will not receive eternal life. This is what the Apostle Paul is trying to teach us. We, regardless how good we are at what we are, we have to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ in every step we take. If we don't do that, then we will not get to know him. If we don't have faith for salvation, then we're not going to be born again. Regardless how you study the Word of God, regardless how good you are at understanding the doctrines of the Bible, if you don't receive salvation by faith, your understanding will amount to nothing. It tells us in Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, "For we are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ, not by some work we're doing, not by studying the Bible, not by being a good person, not by joining some church, not by getting water baptized like so many teach today, not even by living a holy, so-called godly life. We are the children of God simply by faith in Jesus Christ." What does it mean to have faith in Jesus Christ? You believe and accept the sacrifice that he did for us on the cross 2,000 years ago. He took your sin and my sin upon himself, and thus he paid for them. He took the brunt of God's anger. All of God's anger was absorbed by him on the cross. This is what paid for our sin. It tells us once we believe that, once we accept that, we then become the children of God. So the question I have for those of you who are listening, who are caught up in religious systems, what are you doing to enter into the kingdom of God? Oh, I know all about religion. I grew up in it. I know what religion teaches. And when I have studied different religions of the world, they're all in the same boat. You have to do something to get something. Yes, some religions may come close to the way of God's word. But all in all, if they don't teach salvation by grace through faith in the precious cross of Jesus alone, they have nothing to offer you. All it is a hindrance to your salvation, and it is there to bring you into destruction. So I'm speaking to you today, those of you who are listening. You may have studied the Bible through and through. You may know all doctrines. You may have received maybe some doctorate degree in your knowledge of the Word of God, but that doesn't amount to anything if you don't know Jesus personally. Some people may study the Bible. They would even brag that they have read the Bible through every year. I want to ask you the question, what does it help you to read the Bible through every year if you in the end go to hell anyway? Yes, you will go into hell knowing all of what the Bible teaches, but it will be useless information to you then. So what I'm trying to say here, God has a way. He told Joshua, unless you do it my way, I am not for you. And this is how it works with salvation. This is how it works if you want to enter into the kingdom of God. Unless you do it God's way, you cannot enter therein. Regardless how godly you live, regardless how well-meaning you are, you have to go according to the blueprint. If Joshua would have told God, I'm going to do it my way. I'm going to surround Jericho and I'm going to bring my best archers and my best artillery of whatever they had these days. And I'm going to bring those people down one way or another. But Lord, I'm not taking your way. What would have happened to Joshua? He would have had to go down in defeat. And this is exactly what will happen to those who insist on their religion. You, regardless how good your religion is, it's not good enough. Jesus has prescribed the way to enter into the kingdom of God. The Bible teaches, like the children of Israel looked on that brass serpent that was raised up when they were bitten by serpents, even so, we who were all bitten by the serpent Satan need to look upon Jesus. Not just looking upon Jesus and saying, yes, there you are. No, we need to understand that we're dying, that we are on our way to the lake of fire, that we are going to be eternally separated from God. We need to understand that desperation that is within a person who is drowning, who is reaching out to anything that can save him. We need that desperation in our hearts. And once we see that, once we understand that, we cry out to the Lord for salvation. The Bible teaches us very clearly, he that comes to me, I will in no wise cast out. The Bible teaches us that the Lord is willing that none shall perish. Where does this message leave you today? Does it bring hope to your heart? Yes, you may have heard thousands of messages like this and have not paid much attention. You may even say to yourself, this is a good message. But the question I have for you, what does it do to your heart? Do you know that you belong to the Lord? If not, then you need to reach out to him. Just like the woman who had the issue of blood. She had been bleeding for 12 years, being sick. She had spent all her money on doctors. And one day, when she saw that Jesus was coming in her direction, she went to him. And it tells us that the crowd was so thick around Jesus, she had a problem getting to him. But she forced her way through the crowd till she came to him and touched the hem of his garment. She meant business. And the Lord God realized that his spirit went into her so that he turned around and said, who touched me? The apostle said, there's so many people here touching you. But the Lord said, no, this touch was different. I felt my spirit going into somebody. Has that spirit gone into you when you have accepted the Lord? Yes, the Lord knows your desperate heart, and he will in no way turn you away when you touch him like that. The Lord will open your heart to this truth and make you a blessing. Amen.
Would you be free from the burden of sin? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you war evil a victory when there's power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There is wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb.
Would you be whiter, much whiter than snow? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There is wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
Your King, there's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily His praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood.
I got a letter in from one of the listeners trying to tell me that a soul is not eternal and that a soul will die. And he quoted many scriptures. Personally, I believe that deep down this person is trying to tell me that there is no such a thing as the lake of fire. I believe that's the bottom line of the letter that I got. And I decided I will answer this person over the airwave because I believe there are many people out there who are trying to explain away the eternal punishment of a soul when it doesn't turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Regardless what scriptures you come up with and how you decide to interpret them, you cannot escape from the fact that there is an eternal lake of fire, and the soul that sinneth will not only die once, it'll die twice. Once a physical death, and then a spiritual death. It tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, that God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. Whenever God breathes into something, the breath of God will continue to exist throughout eternity. You cannot kill God. God does not die. So a part of God has been implanted into the human being. And we cannot explain that away. In John chapter 3, the Lord Jesus Christ tells Nicodemus that you have to be born again. First, there is a physical birth, then there is a spiritual birth. There's an interesting saying that somebody came up with. To be born once means to die twice. To be born twice means to die once. To be born once, you will first die a physical death, and then you will die a spiritual death. To be born twice means you'll be born once physically, then you'll be born again, and then you will only have one death. That's a physical. You will then enter into the kingdom of heaven, where the second death will not have a hold on you. In Revelations chapter 20, verse 12, it tells us, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before the Lord. What does he mean by dead? Those who have died physically. Now they are spiritually standing before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of these things that were written in the book according to their works. The sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And the Bible teaches us that the smoke of their torment shall arise forever and ever. The Bible teaches us very clearly here that there is a judgment. Why would God judge somebody who's died and doesn't exist anymore? He is judging somebody who is very much alive. Yes, this is what will happen one day in the future. Those who have passed from this life will be brought to judgment. And the Bible teaches here, those whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life will be what? They will be cast into the lake of fire, which the Bible teaches us very clearly is the second death. In Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20, it tells us, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. It is talking about a second death. When we study history, the pharaohs of Egypt understood that they will not die. They will have an afterlife. This is why they have those incredible tombs that they're digging up. The North American Indian called it the happy hunting grounds. Yes, a person knows within himself that he will go on to live after his physical body dies. Many people have died and come back and are able to explain that they have left the body. They saw their body lying there. Are they all lying? I highly doubt that, because the Bible teaches that a man is an eternal living soul. We need to understand that. So I want to give you, those of you who are trying to explain away the judgment of a soul, I want to explain something to you. Don't try to argue with the Word of God. Regardless of how many scriptures you try to interpret according to your doctrine or cause, it's not going to help any, because the judgment of God is one day going to happen. The only way that you will be able to stand before God and not be condemned to the second death is found in James chapter 4, verse 10. It tells us, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. And then when you do that, you will receive eternal life through his precious blood. The Lord will open up your eyes to this truth and make you a blessing to yourself.
Here at Reaching Out Ministries, we would like to thank you for your generous support. Please continue to pray for us as we press on in the call that God has placed before us. We would love to hear from you. Please write to us at Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2. Again, that's Reaching Out Ministries, Box 278, Steinbeck, Manitoba, R5G1M2.